Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster today. And joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. While we're so excited that you're joining us in the extra hour, we're just talking about and just really talked about in the first hour, Arizona cliff jumping. You definitely got to see that. We'll have that film with you on the torch. All right. But we're talking about the Second Amendment and your constitutional rights to bear arms and what this media, this liberal media and progressives, what they're trying to do with trying to convince us that by trying to have stricter gun laws, somehow, the fellow gangbanger down the road is not going to be restricted from, you know, breaking in and doing the violent crimes. Mm-hmm. And we shared a good portion of the first hour talking about real data and statistics that prove otherwise.
Right.
You know, and you look at this whole campaign, if you will, and it's like the whole media has kind of just, you know, bought into it. But you'd even think that everyone that goes to a gun show in the local communities across this country, you know, you have these gun shows. You would think that the way they're being portrayed is this some just radical folks going out there to – no, these are just law-abiding citizens. And they actually shared a statistic that there's probably roughly, they said, about anywhere between 2,000 to 5,000 gun shows that take place in the United States a year. I didn't realize there were that many. And this is where, you know, private sellers and they have a chance to people get to purchase, you know, guns of all different sorts, and they're able to do that. Well, they ran a study and they found out that in a 3-year period of time, from October to 2003 through September 2006, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms conducted 202 operations at 195 gun shows. 202 at 195 gun shows, leading to 121 arrests and 83 convictions.
Wow.
You realize that they're also saying that you have law-abiding citizens there. You know what I'm saying? You have law-abiding citizens there that are doing the right thing. And right. I'm trying to get this other stat here for you. But we just want to encourage you, spend time on this site. Spend time, you know, getting the information that you need and making sure that everything that you have in your within yourself that you know, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to be hoodwinked, that
right.
you're not going to be manipulated, that you're not going to be persuaded to think otherwise, and know that our Constitution is worth standing up for,
right.
because it's being chipped away. So we need to stand. But we're going to listen to, in this extra hour, we'll listen to a fantastic segment called Back to Basics for the Church. And this is part of our Rethinking Church segments, and where we look at the church and we begin to rethink some of the things about what we've called church and what God says church is.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen up and be encouraged, because it's a time more than ever for us to return to the basics, the truth, the foundation of what the church is supposed to be. We'll be right back.
Well, you think about this. You know, we were speaking about, you know, what's happening with the original intent and getting back and passing that cost alone to us, you know, and it's already started already with a happy bill. You know, we can change things. We can pray about who we're going to be supporting, why we're going to be supporting them, and how to sustain our country, how we're going to be able to make this you know, and pass this along. And we can do it and pass it on to our children by maintaining the original intent of our country. I encourage you to get the a little pocket version of the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence and carry it with you. And when you have time, just read it. Just read little bits and pieces of it and go back to the VFN Torch to be able to hear the segments that we've done. It's called Original 10 about the nation. And you just want to know what you actually stand for. Constitution is what holds us all together and this country together. And then that acknowledges God that holds us together as a people and as a person. You know, we talked about yesterday. We began a conversation about the original tent of the church. And in that, we have so much to say about that because you know, God took us on a journey of rediscovering. I think about Josiah. You know, King Josiah was a young king, and in that he, they were digging out the old place where they used to worship God. You know, and there's a place in your heart right now as you're listening. There was a place that you used to go and you'd worship God. It was just you and God. It was such an awesome place. And but in the natural sense at that time, they were the place that the temple where they had went to worship God at the tabernacle, it was just filled with all kinds of stuff. You know, it's like, we're not using that anymore. Let's just go ahead and put entertainment there. No, let's go ahead and put, you know, stuff. And all of a sudden they just begin to just whatever they stored stuff in the temple. And with that, he decided to go and have it cleaned out and start cleaning. When they were digging through the temple, they found the Word of God. They found the Word of God. And in that, he realized when they were reading it that it's like, we're not doing this.
Oh, wow.
We're not doing this. And the Word says, if we do this, then God will protect us. God will bless us, and why aren't we doing this? But he's king.
Right.
So he says, we're going to do this.
Right.
The same thing Jehoshaphat did, the very same thing, and King Jehoshaphat. But anyway, so they begin to say, hey, what does it say? How do you do this, and how do you do that? Okay, that's how God wants us to do it. I want to send teachers out. I want to tell everybody, and this is what we got to do. We got to rediscover the original intent of God. Mm-hmm. For us, you know, and you may have a lot of things as know ye not, you're the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you, you know, which means you can't go clean a building out and think your life's going to change. You're going to have to clean your heart out and your life's going to change. You know, if you want to get the world together, you got to get the man together. It's you, you know, and so we've got to begin to find out, what is God's original intent for me? What is the manual that he gave me to be able to operate my life? Right. And so we begin to just dive into the Word and abide with God. You know, John 15, Jesus tells us that you can do nothing outside of abiding with him. And so the core of what we've done and what we did for years trying to get people to do, you know, that now we came up with a simple plan to help you begin abiding with God. I mean, it's, believe it or not, something that was you were called to do. Now you have to be taught to do it because so many people have been trying to do it, do what you can only do. They've been trying to tell you that I can do it for you, what you can only do for yourself. Listen, you stand alone before God. You stand alone before God. And in that, you're going to have to answer to God. You're going to have to answer for the very fact of your life and what you did with it, what you did with your operator's manual. You know, what are you doing with God's word? And so with that, you know, Josiah saw, he goes, man, you know, I want to do it. And that's what we begin to just find out, what is God, what do you want, Lord? You know, what do you want from us? What is the church supposed to be like? Mm-hmm. And then we begin to read about the book of Acts, you know, about the acts of the church. It's called Acts because it's what the church acts like. You know, these are things, we're supposed to be like that. So when you read Acts, it should be an autobiography of your life as a believer. It's not something that happens when an evangelist blows in, blows up, and blows out. You know, it's supposed to be your life, you know, to set you on fire for God, the things of God. And one thing they talk about in the book of Acts, when you read it, you got to change your mindset and don't read it as a history book, but read it as an operation manual. Read it as, this is how my life's supposed to be, if I declare that the Lord is my Lord and that he dwells with me. And I'm going to abide with him until he tells me what I need to do, until that's happening in my life.
Right.
And the thing that sets us apart as God's people is his presence. It's his presence that sets us apart. It's his presence that sets us apart. And knowing that, if his presence is not with you, first of all, you know, what are you doing? You know, as a believer, you want his presence. That's what you're designed for. You're designed for the presence of God. That's your reward, is God hanging out with you. That's what Adam and Eve lost in the garden and lost for us in the garden. But that's what we got back through Jesus Christ when they went into the upper room waiting for the church to be birthed. And it got birthed with an explosion, what they call Pentecost. When Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit down while they were gathered, 120, mind you, at that point of Jesus' ministry after 3 years, were gathered together in the upper room, and all of a sudden with an explosion, bam, you know, with a fire, you know, almost like tongues of fire on people's head, the church exploded. And no matter what people tell you, that is the freshest expression of the church. I mean, that is, how could that be wrong? If that's exactly, if God was telling, like, this is day one, A, B, C, D, right. E, this is the basics.
The birthing.
I mean, the power of God. And all of a sudden, people began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And people were understanding in their own language what was going on. I mean, people were getting saved. Peter was preaching Jesus and him crucified and saying, you need to repent and be baptized. And thousands were being saved. And all of a sudden, they were gathering in their homes all over the place, eating together, praising God, dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. People feared coming amongst them.
That's right.
And God added to their number daily those being saved. I mean, people are supposed to fear coming amongst you if you're the church, and they're not the church.
Mm-hmm.
But you're advertising to bring in people that don't even know Jesus, and they're going to dine on the sheep.
Wow.
D-I-N-E, dine on the sheep. I mean, Paul warned day and night, that wolves would come in amongst you, come in amongst your number. And with tears, he said, he warned. He never stopped warning them. And us as shepherds, I want to encourage the shepherds, and also the sheep. Listen, you know, the church is not a building or a place. It's you, the body of Christ. So nobody can join you unless they're part of a church, unless they're a believer.
That's right.
And then God dwells in them. Then God dwells in them, and when he dwells in you and in him, then they're the church, and you just recognize that they are the church. You recognize that they're part of the body of Christ, and then you fellowship with the Lord and with each other. So understanding that it's we've entered into some strange, we've adopted men's philosophies and ideas and that say, you know, we need to bring marketing in. We need to market Jesus. We need to market. If we can get some people, you know, together in our crowd right here. And listen, I mean, you know, a person who, I mean, Charles, what is the, Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson can get a crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't know where Marilyn Manson is today, but he can get a crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just, I can name people all day long who can get a crowd. The question is that crowd the body of Christ?
That's right.
You know, and so the first thing we started finding out is that, you know, a lot of people want to talk about Jesus, but they don't want to know Jesus.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so
that's right.
Then you have to say, okay, cool. I'll honor that decision because Jesus said in Luke 10, this is how you do it. You tell them about Jesus, the real Jesus, not the other Jesus. You know, and there's like a lot of different, you know. Yeah, do you like iPhone covers? Do you want this iPhone cover? You want the iPhone cover? How about this one, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you want this Jesus or that Jesus or another? There's only one Jesus.
There's only one.
And Paul said, if anybody preaches you to another Jesus, you know that they're of the devil.
Right.
False apostles. And so we began to say, wow, you know. And so we began, and we did a lot of studies about it. And it started, by the way, we just responded to the voice of God. I mean, God spoke to us very specific. He began to make us very uncomfortable in our present condition, and he spoke to me and began to just literally, I got just sick of men's philosophies, and I just couldn't. It was just repulsive to me. And that's what God did. God was doing something. And it's like, you know, one more riddle, one more rhyme, or you're going to drive me out of my mind. You know?
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, you know, that it was just, I couldn't get close to religion.
Right.
You know, it just, I could not do it without literally thinking I was going to wolf my cookies. And so I just go, you know, what meanest thou this? Like Mary did, you know, when she, what meanest thou this, God? So I've been again to seek the Lord. I told nobody about it. And I remember the next thing was that, without any details in the context of that, but I know that God began to deal with you, Pat, right?
Sure did.
What happened?
Yeah. I was just sitting there one morning and, just felt really, really anxious. Just, I could not sit still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just something all over me. I felt like my heart was just going to explode in my chest. And I eventually had to get up, walk out, and make a phone call and say, what's up?
Right.
You know?
And so that was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you where I was.
I
was still thinking, you know, what meanest thou this? You know, I'm trying to, you know, what is God saying? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Chris...
Yeah,
you know, Chris as well. He, you know, he's not here to be able to talk, but he, all of a sudden, one day, you know, in a religious setting, his ears started ringing so loud that he could not. It was like this bell sound, this ringing in his ears, and it was supposed to be a good thing that was going on, but he couldn't. It was just a tingling cymbal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a ringing in his ear, and so he didn't know what was going on because nobody talked to him, and so he picks up the phone and he calls. I guess he called you, right? He called.
Yeah, actually, I called him, and then he told me what happened.
Oh, that was happening, and so, and John, I mean,
yeah, I had my own experience. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, God had been dealing with me for a while and speaking to me, and I had that same thing in my spirit where I was just like, right. God, what is up? You know, I, this is not about entertainment. You know, this isn't coming after you, you know, seeking you, God. It's not about two songs and stopping. I mean, it's about experiencing you. It's about the presence. It's not about watching our time and our clocks. It's about there has to be more.
Mm-hmm.
And in seeking the Lord, he showed me, you know, he showed us. And I'm grateful that he did.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, God's called us to himself. I mean, he wants to have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And he's not satisfied with you only having a relationship with someone else. He wants you to know him. And you know, God begins to do a new thing when he does a new thing. And so the Lord just really spoke to us as we got together trying to figure out what God's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
His heart's broken over it.
Right.
It's nothing but a ringing bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's time to follow God. It's just time to follow him. You know, no more, just don't do one more thing of men's philosophies, you know, and how can you add to God anyway? When you think about it, how can you add to him? But we had to revisit that because, you know, you thought you needed a $1.5 million budget. You got to do that because George Barna statistics say that it takes $1.3 million to baptize one believer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. I mean, you just don't need $1.5 million. You need two big screen TVs. You need, you know, all this other stuff with it. And it's like, really?
Right.
Really? My question is, why don't we export the gospel, you know, that we have here, that we see
you bring up a good point,
in traditional religion?
You bring up a good point because if you leave America, you'll find out America, most of the church, it's not in America, by the way, does not look like the American church. You know, it looks like the Book of Acts. You know, when I was in Israel, as minister in Israel, you know, I was going from house to house in Israel. And these are the business leaders. These are the ones that everybody talks about in America, for example. And they go, you know, I was just speaking to the, you know, minister so-and-so and, you know, in Tel Aviv or, you know, it's like, yeah, but he doesn't meet in the same way you meet. He actually meets a different way. And you talk highly of the way, I mean, he's God's meeting with them. You know, Yeshua is in their presence and they're weeping and oh, just powerful.
Isn't that all that matters?
It's all about Jesus, man.
In the midst.
Mm-hmm. It's all
if
about,
we're coming for any other reason, any other thing that's appealing to our flesh or to what we like, and God's not there, I'm greatly concerned.
Right.
And now the question we've got to ask ourselves, is God enough? Is God in our midst enough? And that's, yes, he is.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that we make available today, Desperate for Your Glory. It's totally ready to go up, an audio of that on VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure we get that today. that that's where we have to be, because you know what God is saying, you know, is where's the glory? Where's the glory? Where's the we should be saying, every one of us should be saying, you know, where is the glory? You know,
that's
where
right.
is the glory, which means the presence of God. Remember, Moses comes down out of the mountains and his face had so much glory on it that he had to cover his face with a veil. We should be glowing with the glory of God. And understand this, that you can get familiar with God. You know, that God's with you, but you just start taking it for him for granted and his presence for granted. And other people are still reacting to the glory of God on your life, but you don't even know what's happening. And you start accrediting it to yourself.
That's
and thinking
right.
you're the one that's doing that instead of God's presence doing that. And all of a sudden his glory departs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, Eli.
Right.
You know, Eli, he just did his own thing. He did his
that's
own
right.
thing. And because of that, you know, with God's things, and the glory departed, and he has a son, and his son was named, and his sons died, Eli died, and Ichabod, Ichabod's mother, his grandson's mother died, and the name Ichabod, which means the glory's departed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, in the church that we don't look, a lot of the church doesn't look any different than the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you're in a business board meeting or the Father's business.
That's right.
It's kind of like the same thing, you know. The politics are like integrated, you know, in the context of that. So anyway, we started thinking, you know, experimenting and studying those that have gone before us and reading. And we just kind of went, said, everybody go seek God. Everybody
right.
that God was hearing, just like we didn't jump on anything. It's like, go seek God and let's see what he's saying. And eventually, after seeking the Lord, and God was really in. God is really, and by the way, God is really into his kingdom, and he began right away. It was amazing. I mean, right away, you know, people that we had never met before began coming over, and they're wanting to know the wisdom of God, and they're wanting to know things. It's like, it's just, I realized at that point, you know, being foundational that we had to really begin to work in a hurry and learn what God was doing, like Josiah did, and go back and read the word like David did when he found out that his best men died when he tried to be able to bring the glory in.
Mm-hmm.
This is very dangerous. The Father's business, although awesome, mm-hmm. is very dangerous if you don't do it properly and
that's
honor
right.
God in it. And so with that, a prophetic word came to me that the Lord laid on my heart. Through that sheets is where I got the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that the Lord's going to, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that the church is going to use for the next 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately at that point, you know, we realized those that were being heard from the voice of the Lord, only those that heard from God's voice, we got together and then we needed to become what we were going to reproduce.
That's right.
So we took 3 years to be able just to learn. We went through a lot of learning curves and seeing, oh, this is God, that's not God. And we studied those that have gone before us. And it was like, I think a big move came of prophets prophesying, you know, what needed to happen. But mm-hmm. without the apostles coming in, it kind of looks chaotic and it looks mm-hmm. kind of confusing. It's not that the prophets weren't doing the right thing. It was just that then the apostle kind of has to come in and start bringing some foundational order to that and how to work together, apostles and prophets working together. And then because, you know, my heart, when I saw a lot of things happening in what, you know, people may call it a micro church, or they may call it home church or home church network or church in the home, it depends what it is,
mm-hmm.
that it's all the same. No matter where you are as a church, there is no different procedure. There is no
That's right.
a way of God, whether you're in a building, whether you're in a coffee shop, the church has one way of doing it, and it's in the Bible. And when you work your way away from that, you've left the ways of God. And so if you're in a building, it's church in a building.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a coffee shop, it's church in the coffee shop. They're in the coffee shop. If the church is in the house, it's church in the house. It's not house church. The church is in the house.
Right.
That makes
right.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's supposed to be different in regards to what God requires of us and expects of us to be able to do that. And then, you know, so those things that we saw and we studied, this beautiful sacrifices and things that people did to be able to get to this point. You know, I think about, you know, Mega Chef and Jim Rutz's book. I think about, I don't have that on me. I don't think right here. Just those that have gone before us. And I noticed that many people they didn't have this continual care or responsibility, it seemed, for what happened to God's people,
mm-hmm.
you know, And that was always been on my heart. You know, what's going to happen? You know, yeah, I can do this, but can the church at large do this? Can this be reproduced? This husband and wife can have a son or a daughter, but can that son and daughter be a mother and father, and can they do the same thing? I mean, that's the whole thing about progression and the Lord. And so as he began to teach us, and my concern was, because you're going to be held accountable for what you're doing and what you're reproducing, and how to have apostolic oversight and how to recognize apostles in the body of Christ all over that God has in their heart and stirring to build foundation for what he's doing in this day, because it's the apostle that's going to, God's going to give that apostle and a strategy to reach the next generation. It's kind of like history. You can study history that previous moves of God or apostles of previous works will be just shocked that God's doing a new thing, and they tend to fight against the new thing. But I think the purpose of that is to keep separation from the old and new. You know, God's not concerned about your feelings and how you feel, but he's concerned about his kingdom. And if you tie the two together, and that's what everybody thinks it's supposed to be like, if you tie the two together, then you're going to destroy them both. Mm-hmm. But you can honor what was while you're doing what is. You know, you can do both, honor that. And so with that, you know, we begin to just say, you know, the order has to be brought. And so God began to reveal a pattern to us over this 3-year period that we're following today in churches around the world. And we're just getting started, as a matter of fact, you know, there's so many things that we're going to fill. But God's shown us stadiums being filled with the church. You know what I'm saying? It's church in the stadium. The stadium is not a church, but it's church in the stadium. And imagine this. Imagine the Georgia Dome, totally filled with abiding believers, people that hear God's voice, who follow him, who spend time with him, and every one of them truly does have an indivisible relationship with Jesus Christ. And that roar coming out of the stadium, just bellowing out for our Lord's return, it's like the spirit of Elijah calling for the return of the Lord, preparing the way of the Father. I'm telling you where things are going. But see, the whole thing is that when God was saying, hey, the new regime is coming in, or the old regime's going out, that most people were scared of what was going on. You know, most people were scared of all the threats. You'll find, when you're talking about spirits here, when you find a people that's held captive, listen to what they're saying. You'll hear things like, if it's a Jezebel spirit, you know, an Ahab type spirit, that they're actually saying fearful things. They're threatening. They're doing all this different kind of stuff. And it's not them, but it's what's got them. You know what I'm saying? And you'll actually hear it across a whole community or a whole. I mean, you're hearing it come from Washington D.C. that we're being threatened. Fear is being promulgated, you know, and you got to do this or, you know, type thing. And it fears people into following the wrong thing. But with that, you know, God changes the regime. I mean, think about Israel, Ahab and Jezebel, that actually Ahab was supposed to be over Israel and he was chosen by God to be over it. His wife lead him astray. He married Jezebel. And although the name Jezebel seems like a lot of, luggage with that, that was her name. It was like her name could be
Sue. Mary.
Sue. Yeah. I was even being careful with that. I took one of our listeners, he's talking about me. And so, everybody has some name. And that was his wife's name. And so he started following his wife instead of following the Lord. And let me tell you right now, I'll just tell you up front right now, that the spirit in the land is you have parents following children, you know, husbands following wives, shepherds following sheep, and it's all upside down. You have teachers following students. You have law enforcement following the people. You have authority. Right. You have judge. I mean, it's just upside down. It's upside down from way God. And now it's even accepted. It's like, what's the big deal about that? Let me explain to you the big deal. It ain't God. It is a way, it's a philosophy, it's a concept, but it's a shame for you to be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. That there's order to things. There's order to things and how God does it. And that order was so bad that God said, I regretted the day that I ever chose Ahab to be king. He says, because, two things, you let your wife lead you astray, and second part was, you did not abide with me. You didn't seek me. You didn't inquire of me. Well, David, he made all kinds of mistakes, second then the second king, but he abided. He found out if he was wrong, he found out in his abiding time. Like,
he sought the Lord.
He sought the Lord, you know. And when I talk about abiding, I'm talking about, you know, sometimes your abiding experience when you're hanging out with God, it's like, man, you're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. And another abiding experience is like, what in the world are you doing? You know, and he,
right.
You know, and a father corrects.
Yeah,
that's right.
He does.
And so, you know, that's abiding with God. Listen, he truly can have, and you truly can have a personal relationship with God. Acts 17 says specifically, he designed everything. Mm-hmm. He holds everything together in Colossians, but back to Acts 17, then he says he did all this and chose your address and everything around you to see if you would reach out and acknowledge exactly what I'm talking about, that you have a personal relationship with him, though he's not far from you. And the only way the church can really be the church, if we let Jesus be the Lord of the church.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So getting back to the original intent of the church, and this is so exciting. It's sort of like saying, you know, so I'm like, I hear you now, right? Going, you're saying this, really? Oh my goodness! You mean all this stuff that God's had in my heart? You know that I remember just talking to somebody recently, and they're in a traditional, you know, expression, you know, mm-hmm. of they attend, you know, basically at a building, and it's chaotic there. It's totally chaotic. Sure. And the leader has fallen, you know, mm-hmm. in the situation. But when you're alone, let me tell you something. When you're alone, right. It's not will you fall, it's when you fall and how will you fall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be alone, you know, and you want to be with family. You want to be with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And everybody's not a brother and sister, you know.
Right.
But he felt, I mean, all this time he's been there helping as an assistant, you know, to that situation. And, he didn't feel it was okay for him to pray for people.
To pray.
And the thing is, we got to go back and remember. If we forget what it was like, you know, when God first called us to do, you know, what we're doing, that, it was a whole different mindset. Because right. If anybody was traditionalist, I mean, we were traditionalists. We loved the church. I mean, anywhere the church was gathering, that's what we wanted to do. You know, I actually started and founded and led a traditional church expression. And quickly I learned that, you know, how they're supposed to operate according to men's philosophies and traditions, no matter how much you expected people to do what they heard, there was just a whole bunch of here, going on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but with that, we learned also with that, it's, you know, when you follow God, you set your hand to the plow, you don't look back.
Right.
And the Great Commission, the great expectation of God, is not a great suggestion. I mean, that's for all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we found out that the fear of the Lord came upon us. I mean, we have so many stories about the fear of God that you don't have to. I mean, God holds His church together. You don't need fences have the fear of God. But if you don't have a fear of God, stay in that corral, in that fence. I don't care what kind of, it's a stucco fence,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a shopping center fence, mm-hmm. because you're going to be devoured outside of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord restrains you and keeps you. But we saw, you know, people that just said, oh, you know, I was, listen to this. Oh, we don't have a lot of time. You got to continue with us on these original intents of the church, because we've got so many things to tell you about. We've seen miracles. We've seen tragedy. We've seen those that try to come against what God's doing, you know, literally fall to their knees choking for 4 hours because they could not stand in the presence of God. We've seen people fall to their seat and begin to cry out, even though they were tending a leadership position in a traditional large mega church mm-hmm. expression, and they were telling us how to do it. That they and we were just loving God. When God's presence showed up, he fell to his chair. He began to scream out and cry out, you know, and said, mm-hmm. "I've sinned. I'm a sinner." Because the presence of God fixes everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He fixes everything. As you know, as firemen put out fire,
right?
That the presence of God puts out sin. It deals with sin. It's very powerful. We'll be right back. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you, to encourage you but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
What's up, man? How you been doing?
Oh, man, I've been doing good. You know, matter of fact, Chris, check this out.
Yes.
You know, I've been working on my office at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm knocking some walls down. I'm, nailing some boards up. You know, kind of expanding it a little bit.
I saw Jonathan was helping you with that.
Yeah. He loves tearing stuff up. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Gave him a sledgehammer. I said, all right, knock this wall down. And he was like, all right. He tore it to pieces. So, you know, I'm nailing some boards up, you know, and I just started reminiscing. You know, back in reminiscing, yeah. I was thinking back all the times that we used to, you know, all the times we did all those projects, you know, with the church back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, and as I'm nailing this board in, and, you know, there's a specific way you can nail a particular type of board in. It's called toe nailing.
Right.
You know, you kind of nail it at a 45-degree angle when you can't really get to it from the other way.
Mm.
And as I'm nailing this board in, I'm like, it just made me think of something. That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
You remember the time?
We can skip this.
When we were doing that project at the church, and this is the building I'm referring to. And, you know, John, he was real, you know, green back in those days. Yes. Didn't know much about construction.
Yes.
And we thought it would be really funny. We said, John, come here. You know, he was there to help. He had his little apron on. He had his little belt buckle. He had his little tape measure. He was like,
You hear this, Chris?
Yes.
What can I do? I said, John, I need some toenails. Could you go find me some toenails? Sure. So he takes off looking for these toenails. He was gone for hours, I think. And he finally comes back. He goes, I can't find the toenails. I just don't know what do they look like.
They think this is humorous, you see. This is what you call taking advantage of someone that was there to help, to be a helper, you know. I'm like, what in the world? When I found out, when it was revealed to me that this was a scam, they lied to me.
you know, I am not the handyman, you know. Although I have grown in some wisdom
yes,
over the years.
Have.
I have grown in my...
You
in
do
my...
know what a toenail is now. And it's not the things you clip off the end of your toes.
No. Got that, you know. But I used to say, you know, a hammer in someone else's hand is a tool. And in my hand, it's a weapon. And I probably got myself, you know what I mean? But me and tools are not really the best of friends. I have learned, though. I've gotten an education, but I wouldn't say I'm a master builder, Chris. I'm not on the level.
You're not a Bob builder, Bob Vila, right?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I need the website, the video, and a whole lot of prayer and some duct tape to fix it all.
Just put some mud on it.
Oh, yeah.
Mud fixes
that'll
everything.
Fix everything.
Mud fixes everything.
Just slap some mud on it and keep going.
That's it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris.
John the Builder.
Hopefully, no one is laughing at those shenanigans that you heard on those commercials.
That's hilarious.
I mean, hilarious.
Man, you've gained so much wisdom over the years. Come on,
Chris.
Think about
it. Chris.
Think of where you came from, brother.
Chris. Yes. I have still ways to go.
Dude, you know what a hammer is. You know what toenails are.
Imagine. Wow. I'm not even going to say unbelievable because it is believable, right? It is believable.
That's right.
Well, as we're coming to the end of the extra hour, we do want to share the wisdom moment for today. And the wisdom moment is found in Proverbs 27, verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I'm going to repeat that again. Proverbs 27, 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now, instinctively, when we think of a wound or something that hurts, we automatically think that this is, bad. And we certainly don't think that pain and hurt should be associated with a friend. I mean, he's like, did I read this verse of scripture correctly? Wounds from a friend can be trusted? And we're talking about trusted wounds. Trusted wounds. The next part of this verse of scripture talks about, and it appears to be wrong as well, because we never really think about our enemies giving us kisses. What? Right?
Not with some other motive. Not with some other motive.
Right. The truth is that pain serves a purpose in our life. I mean, have you ever thought about what would happen to your hand if you left it on an iron or in a stove and you didn't have the ability to sense pain?
Yeah.
Maybe you just kind of set your hand down on an eye.
Yeah.
But you didn't have the ability to sense pain. I think your hand would be burned significantly. You know what I'm saying? Maybe someone would tell you the smoke of burnt flesh. But if you didn't have the ability to sense that pain, you would suffer tremendous loss. And oftentimes pain in our physical body is to alert us that something is wrong and that we need to attend to it. You know, after we watch Pat work out, we all experience pain, but you know, but yet physical pain in our body tells us, you know, alert, something's wrong here. Something's not right. You need to look at your toe, your arm, your leg, whatever there and take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the same thing is true, Pat and Chris, when we're talking about our inner man. You know, oftentimes we will experience pain or discomfort in our inner self that is absolutely necessary for us to grow and mature in our relationship with others and our, most importantly, relationship with God. But oftentimes what happens, and I'm sure this doesn't happen with you guys, I'm positive, but oftentimes we try to guard ourselves. No. From experiencing the pain that is necessary for us to be free and move on with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just we guard ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it,
Right.
A child who has a splinter in his finger, you know, what does a small child normally tell his father? Please, please don't take it out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's going to be too painful. Don't bring that needle here. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Right, right.
You know, leave it alone. Don't touch it. It hurts. It hurts. And every parent knows that it is necessary for that child to feel temporary pain of this needle, right, digging into this finger to get that splinter out,
mm-hmm.
to enjoy true healing from infection and worse pain.
Right. Or that loose tooth that's just dangling by a thread.
Yeah.
That you just, you know, you got to relieve them of this discomfort. You've got to take care of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pat's also a resident dentist.
he is. Needs,
he has special pliers and all, but moving right along.
Hey, my kids come to me when their twos are falling out.
Pull it out.
Believe
right?
it or not. Yeah.
Eddie does well too. Eddie does well. He has those skills too. But think about it. You have this pain. You got this tooth. You got this splinter, and a young child saying, "Don't take it out. It's gonna hurt." Mm-hmm. And you see this. It's all getting puffy, and it's like, "No, we got to get this thing out,"
mm-hmm.
because we know by getting it out and dealing with it, it's gonna cause you not to be infected. And cause you even worse pain. So when we think about what this verse of scripture says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. I mean, let's talk about this word friend. You know what I mean? In today's society, we have so cheapened that word. I mean, it's become so misused. Everybody's a friend. And my goodness, in Facebook world, I mean, it's like they give friend a whole new different definition, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is that many people really only have very few friends in their lives. And even fewer friends who will actually tell them the truth. And that they can actually receive the truth from.
Right.
How many people do you have? Right? So what is a friend? What is a friend? A friend is someone who looks out for your best interests. Someone who has your back, and not even according to what you think or based on your standards, but according to what is right. Some people say, "Well, you have my back." It's like, I'm not going to have your back on that because that is just foolish.
Yeah, right.
God's not into that. I'm not having your back on that. But a true friend has your back based upon what is right according to God's word. That's a friend. And for a Christian, right, a friend, you know, has even that deeper meaning. It's someone who's going to draw you closer to God and to the family of God. I mean, that's a friend, right? For a believer, you want friends that are going to encourage you in the Lord, that are going to help you and be challenged in your faith, challenged in your intimacy with God, challenged in your prayer and in your abiding. I mean, those are my friends, right?
Right, right.
And this is why a friend, based on this definition, can be trusted to inflict wounds. I mean, this is what the verse of scripture says. I mean, let's look at it again. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I mean, under this type of definition, a true friend can be trusted.
Right.
And so the thing is, we got to realize what is a friend, and we start talking about what a friend is. And this is why we can trust what a friend is, based upon this definition of doing the right thing. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to explore more of this. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but I'm not a camper. I've camped more probably than the typical person. I am just not, I'm not a camper. I mean, camping for me was like, you know, you're in a hotel and.
I mean, I think you're confused.
You're in a hotel and you are hungry. You get hungry and you look at. And it's late, it's like midnight or something. And you look at the room service, and it says, room service not after midnight. And then it's like, whoa, I'm camping out. I hope I can make it till like, the room service comes again or the breakfast buffet opens up in the morning. I am telling you what, it's amazing. God will use the things that are not, the campers that not, are not, to nullify the campers that are.
Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn. And after the basketball tournament.
Tournament?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it tournament?
It's happening.
Is it tournament?
What's happening? What happened?
Is it tournament or tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
No, I just tournament. Just, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament?
A tournament. But anyway, there was this basketball game. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And only if you could see Pat's moves just a second ago. Man, I didn't know you had them skills. But we're talking about wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. This is the wisdom moment for today, and we're just defined what a friend was. Friend is anyone that's going to draw you close to God and has your back concerning the things that are right. Not because they're just, you know, quote unquote, your friend. No. Mm-hmm. A friend does the right thing. And this is why, based on this definition, a friend can be trusted to inflict wounds based upon this scripture. These wounds are not to damage and hurt us, but only to help us to grow closer to God and the family of God. I mean, have you ever heard the saying that the truth hurts?
Oh, yeah.
It hurts the very thing that it needs to hurt. And the thing that needs to die, and that's your pride, right? That's our pride. What surgery has anyone had that has not hurt, but at the end was very good? It's just the process. It's all just part of it. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we can say, faithful are the wounds of a surgeon, right? But we can trust because we trust the surgeon. What makes that statement true is that we can trust them. That we were trusting the surgeon to do the right thing. So we can say, okay, I didn't inflict this pain, cut me up, staple me up, right? Mm-hmm. Cast me up. In some cases, they have to break a bone in order to reset it, right? So, but we're trusting it because we know that ultimately this is going to be the right thing. So in comparison, we can really understand that what the Lord is communicating with us is that we can trust these wounds. We can trust these wounds from a friend who is going to help us grow and be healed in the Lord. You know, Jesus helped us to define family, you know. I mean, Jesus himself said,
who is my brother and who is my brothers, pointing to his disciples. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12:48-50. I mean, he's defining what friend is. He's demanding what family is. It's all about the will of God and the purpose of God, right? So let's take a look at the enemy as we're coming to a close, because it says the enemy multiplies our kisses. I mean, oftentimes, because, you know, what's this whole thing about enemy multiplies our kisses? What's that all about? Well, it has to do with, you know, our flesh likes to kiss. We fail to see that the kiss is from someone or something that's going to do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, what is an enemy? An enemy is anything or anyone who comes between my relationship with God and his people. Anything or any person that influences me or attacks my Lord and or the ways of God, and ultimately, you know, just looking to separate me from the Lord. And it's like we have to look at how often we have misdefined what an enemy is, right? An enemy contradicts the word of God. So why do we tolerate the enemies around us, right? Why do we tolerate their influence? Is it because they satisfy a fleshly desire for us, but it has no value to God? And an enemy of God, right, the things of God, can never be allowed to get close enough to kiss us. We got to remember, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We must repent from allowing the enemies of God to infiltrate us. We must be open to allow God to use those in our lives to remove the splinters in our inner man so that we can be free, heal, and whole. The wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.